Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. Just reflecting or recollecting how Ajahn Chah's teaching, even though it's quite straightforward and fundamental, just how, what a strong impression it makes on the mind. And obviously it has, because I had a direct contact with him, obviously it has more impact on me, but I think that it is the case that the way he taught has a way of kind of cutting to the chase and getting to fundamentals. Last night or night before, had a dream of Ajahn Chah, and you think, it's been years and years and years since I've lived with him, but still, those memories and those impressions keep bubbling up into the mind, whether it's in conscious aspects of daily life or just like that, even in dreams. There'll be many times through the year that I'll have dreams of Ajahn Chah, and it gets, just his teaching is still kind of working and percolating, and one of the foundations of his teaching is just how he emphasized the contemplation of anicca, and in its different aspects, both in terms of impermanence or inconstancy, but also in the sense of uncertainty and unsure, the not sure nature of things. To be able to pick that up, it's one of the fundamental truths that the Buddha himself pointed to and emphasized over and over again. And of course it comes up throughout the suttas, but I think the way that the practical ways that Ajahn Chah emphasized that contemplation of anicca is really important. I mean, it brings it away from the theoretical and down to the practical, that practical experience of impermanence, of change, of uncertainty, inconstancy. As we contemplate that in all things, then it has tremendous power. I remember him saying one time, it's the observation of anicca that allows one to experience the place where defilements die. Yeah, if we really want to see the end of our attachments and defilements and our different obsessions, it's that contemplation of anicca, to keep coming back to that point, whether it's on the level of the physical realm of the human body or the world outside us, or on the mental realm of our thoughts, emotions, views and opinions, to keep reflecting and observing that point of anicca, that it's okay, this is unsure, this is uncertain, this is arising, this is ceasing. And as we, as we do that, of course that lays the foundation for seeing things in their true nature, seeing things rather through the lens of our preferences, of our likes and our dislikes, being able to see things in their true nature. And it's that foundation of right view that is so essential, and to keep encouraging ourselves and inclining our quest or our aspiration to really be establishing right view. And just Ajahn Chah one time would just very simply say, yeah, right view is to see that all things arise and cease. And it's just it's that simple. And you say, on a certain level we say, oh yeah, well yeah, that's really simple. But there's always but. The but of our preferences or our proliferations, the different biases that that the mind has. So it's important to keep coming back. See, yeah, all things arise and cease. And actually, there's a discourse similarly where the Buddha similarly describes right view. He's asked, it's a Kachana Gota. It's the Kachana Gota Sutta. And is asked by, the Buddha is asked by Kachana Gota to, you know, right view. To what extent is there right view? And the Buddha, pointing to that, said, you know, the problem of say, yeah, there are, our human experience in general is that they, whereas there we perceive things through a duality, constantly seeing things through a duality of existence and non-existence, the solidity of things being something really solid. This is it. It's this way. It's going to be this way. It always was this way. It's going to be this way forever. This existence and being, seeing it through that lens, and then its opposite of non-existence, non-being, kind of annihilation, pushing away. That there's this tendency for the mind to swing to those extremes of it, in that duality. And then the Buddha saying, but for one who sees the arising of things, the arising of phenomena, then you can't really hold the position of non-existence. And when one sees the cessation of phenomena, then you can't hold to the position of existence in the sense of that's all there is. So that sense of seeing, really opening one's reflection, investigation of that arising and ceasing, seeing how there is that fluctuation between that tendency to fall on the side of existence, being, it's this way, or that's its opposite, and that pushing away the non-existence, non-being. And because that, of course, we do that with that impulse of attachment, of clinging, of a preference, of bias, and that's what all it keeps us spinning. It keeps us complicated. It keeps us constantly keeps us frustrated. It keeps us suffering. And that's the Buddha saying. Let's see, when we see thing that arising and ceasing, then we can see that it isn't, there isn't a fixed way on either side of a duality. There's just this. What is arising is suffering arising. What is ceasing is just suffering ceasing. And it seems quite stark, but then what it does is you start to realize, oh yeah, that's exactly, because the mind has that tendency to cling to those dualities, cling to those opposite positions, then that's where we keep finding ourselves. But when we can see that more clearly, then that's the way out. We're not creating a sense of self, a sense of me, a sense of mind, a position that is fixed. So bringing into our contemplation, that contemplation of anicca. And of course the immediate place to contemplate that is in just our experience of the body, of feeling, the feelings of the five khandhas, form, feeling, perception, mental formations, consciousness, and that's our immediate ground of experience, and it's also where we, of course, where we cling to self-identity. And that contemplation of arising and ceasing is a way to be able to loosen the grip of that identification. I mentioned it in the I guess yesterday's morning reflection of the the Buddha's articulation of what comprises the insight into entering the stream of Dhamma. And it says, "Yam kinchi samudaya dhammang sabantang nirodha dhammang." Whatever has the nature to arise, that has the nature to cease. And again, you think, well, that's easy, that's simple, everybody knows that. But we don't. We make assumptions, we react so that we don't really take it into account and really pay attention to it, to the place where we're willing to let go, to relinquish, in that sense of putting down the burden of our desires, our attachments, our views, our opinions, the things that actually really torment us, and that contemplation of arising and ceasing is a doorway into that relinquishing of attachment. And that contemplating how they actually, it's this constant process of arising and ceasing. It's just like when we breathe in and we breathe out, and even as we are breathing in, let's say each aspect of the in breath, there's still the arising and ceasing manifesting, there's a continuity of experience taking place that's arising, coming into being, establishing itself for a brief period, and ceasing. So that, and of course, the physical aspect of our being is the easiest or the most prominent to be able to contemplate, and that as where the say the Buddha points to, that, you know, like it would be better to take our body as self, because at least that lasts for, you know, 10, 20, 50, 60, 90, 100 years, as opposed to the mind, which lasts just like that, just a fraction of a second. But that, you know, the Buddha is being ironic, because it's the body's constantly changing as well. So, to be able to contemplate that, and then, but also that it is that experience and understanding of impermanence or uncertainty and change, that the Buddha, that's actually the reason why the Buddha is able to point to a liberation, because there's a sutta where the Buddha is sitting out in the countryside, probably with his monks, and as in rural India, I mean, there's cow dung everywhere. I mean, they use it for everything in there. And the Buddha picks up a little bit of cow dung, if they send it, you know, if they're, because they use it for firewood, they use it for all sorts of things, for building, for making bricks, and he takes a little bit of cow dung. If there, which is, of course, it's ordinary, it's somewhat insignificant, picks up this little bit of cow dung. So if there were even this much permanence in the world, there would be no path to liberation. And sort of flips it away, and so it's because there is that there is no such thing as any bit of permanence, that there is a path to liberation. The tendency, of course, is to try to find something solid, try to find something permanent, try to find something stable, try to find something absolutely sure, and lock in on it, thinking that that's going to give some security. But the real security comes from really contemplating and accepting and abiding in that understanding of anicca, of impermanence. And that's where we can really start to experience the quality of security, of perception of, oh, this is the way things really are. This is truth, and it leads to a kind of a radical relinquishing, which is not a diminution of anything. It's an appropriate response to truth, And so when we respond appropriately to the way things truly are, that's when we experience peace and freedom. So to be able to keep bringing these aspects of impermanence and change and inconstancy and uncertainty up for reflection. This is where Ajahn Chah saying, if you really want to pay homage to the Buddha, contemplate anicca. You know, in that sense, if you really want, as a practitioner and as somebody who has faith and confidence in the Buddha, who has a sense of appreciation of what the Buddha stands for, if you really want to pay homage, it's that contemplating anicca, really bringing that quality of anicca up, reflecting, investigating. You know, it's not something that is because sometimes we want to do pujas and we want to make I'm doing now, make a big statue of for our new hall, and those are appropriate things to do, and of course we're making a new statue, and of course we're trying to get it absolutely perfect, so we're on our third the Buddha statue is on its third incarnation, in the sense we weren't satisfied with the first two, so we're it's sort of an appropriate effort to get a nice Buddha image for a new hall, but if we really wanted to pay homage and have to manifest our devotion to the Buddha, it's contemplating anicca, investigating it, practicing with it, lifting it up and carrying it, that contemplation with us. And that's, and it's not as if it's at all far away and distant from us. I mean, it's it's always, man, it's like now where we're with the last, I don't know, week or so, 10 days, we've been getting quite a bit of rain, and you think, and then what we thought was a permanent dry summer is, where'd that go? And it's great that it's great that it's raining. And then we'll sort of, this is the way we want it to be. We're in drought. We want it to keep raining. Will it do that? I don't know. But that uncertainty, that impermanence, the mind is always conjuring up something. It depends on our position. It's sort of like if you reflect on the kind of the drought and the state of the land and everything, you just want it to keep raining. Of course, you think of Ajahn Yaniko and Tenpo Muto on Tudong, out along the coast or up in the redwoods. I don't know if they're wanting it to keep raining. They're probably, when is it going to stop? So then it depends on our preferences, our desires, of how that manifests. But that sense of remembering, recollecting and this is uncertain, is that contemplation of anicca. And just the, you know, the change of the season, okay, with the rain coming, but there's, you know, there's always changes taking place. And it's like the, especially if we live in the forest, leaves kind of falling from the trees. And it's interesting because sometimes here in California, you get leaves falling in the summertime, like the madrone leaves, and then you have the leaves falling in the when it comes into fall. So there's always something changing at different patterns, and manifestation of change. So that change and uncertainty. So this sense of the this doorway of anicca as a means of understanding the true nature of things, but certainly the necessity of bringing that contemplation inwards, so that we're really paying attention to the experience of change, of impermanence, of uncertainty, because that's where we begin to release our attachments and start to see that tendency to cling, to grasp more clearly. And you know, when we see clinging or grasping, it's not as if, oh, something's wrong. It's just what we do as human beings. But it doesn't mean that's a permanent condition. But it's only through investigating, seeing it clearly, that we can really relinquish. So that being willing to look at the areas and the ways that we do cling, that we do grasp, we do make assumptions of that duality of existence and non-existence, of being and non-being, swing back and forth. And then recognize that we've got an option. We can actually choose sort of placing our bets on right view rather than placing the bets on the stability of conditions. And that's where Ajahn Chah saying that there's importance of contemplating anicca, but then he also is saying there's really two things that are essential for practice and penetration of truth, and one is anicca, but the other is patience, so that it's not just okay, I'm just going to either bash away at anicca and then it's going to somehow work. But it's sort of like being patient, and patient is also being willing to be present. Because sometimes patience in English is a bit misleading in the sense that usually, you know, we're patient with something unpleasant that we are waiting for it to be over, but patience is more the willingness to be present with experience, the willingness to be with the quality, the flavor of that an experience, and that sense of turning to uncertainty, anicca, inconstancy, but being willing to be present with it, and reflecting, investigating, and seeing, you know, what that flavor is, where the clinging is, where the releasing is, when we're there, where the tightness is, where the ease is, where the clarity is, where the confusion is. So that's a sense of being willing to be patient with experience, and patient with even if something is, yeah, it's unclear or it's difficult. But it's that willing to apply not a patience in terms of just dumbly putting up with stuff, but being willing to be present with it, have a certain enduring quality of presence, where we can be with experience, and that's where things start to become more clear, and that's where, and it's, so these two qualities, to picking them up with interest, picking them up with a certain willingness to explore where it's going to take us, what are the nuances, and that sense of, that's where we understand, and that's where, say, like right view can really manifest. And so when Ajahn Chah says right view is to be able to understand that all things arise and cease, is not just skipping over the surface of that, but to really be present with it, and recognizing that, within the arising there's ceasing, within the ceasing there's arising. These are conditions, conditioning phenomena. As the that sense of the coming into being and the ceasing, they're working together. They're in the same way that they, just that, again, there's the breath. The breath as it comes in, the breath as it goes out. They're not separate phenomena. They're not separate experiences. They're part of the whole process. So starting to see things as process, that arising and ceasing as a process. That you start, okay, where is the ease, where is the clinging, where is the understanding, where is the confusion, and that's that, it's through that investigation that we can really start to get a feel for how this seemingly simple statement of fact, yeah, all things arise and cease, opens the doorways into wisdom. So I'll offer that for reflection this evening.